Can you imagine when he failed the third time? But we can learn in this particular moment when Jesus spoke no words to one that felt like a complete traitor. As Jesus looked at him with compassion, and he remembered the word of the Lord. That's the Jesus that we serve. See, you think you're a failure. He thinks so much different of you than we think of ourselves. Even in our darkest moment, his love says, come on higher. Come up higher. When you feel you can't make it no more, you figured I've tried everything. He's coming after you. And I'm sure that you will, if you have ears to hear, you will be ministered to today. Amen. Be seated with me. Hallelujah. You can play that medley that I like, Miss, whoever's back there, Miss Gay, I think. Glory. Blessed be the Lord. You're really going to enjoy this, I do believe. I hear Pastor, you know, the image of the kingdom of heaven seen, being seen and heard is, it's growing in me, man. It's just like, I'm not trying to explain it to you out of feeling, but just there's something inside of me. I'm with Pastor Brunk. It's just something's there. You just, not even based on feeling. Well, you can feel it, don't get me wrong, but something's inside of you saying this has to happen, because he is not a man that he can lie. And it's just there. And Homer, you guys have been saying that all the time. I know we're going to continue to say it. I'm not going to stop. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to stop saying it. Oh, Lord. And I was, you know, hearing every word the pastor says in the back. And just the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. What would you have me, Father? What would you have me share? And I know exactly what he would. And we're going to go back a little bit to some that you might have heard a million times. But really, we've had one of the largest youth groups ever in this town, probably by far, by far. Renee's been with me since day one. Oh, my gosh. But Renee's been with us forever, and he knows what we've had. And I don't mean to demean anybody. There's a lot of young people out in this world now that have given their life to Jesus through this ministry. A lot in there, Renee. Oh, my God. I weep sometimes. There's a lot. But I knew he was calling me to so much more. To take a few. To give them what I had. To train them, to show them how to be disciples. I knew there was much more. To give them what I felt I was getting from the Father. And he's coming for you today with love and compassion. We're going to go back to something so simple today, but maybe with a little bit more clarity just for you. You know, Pastor Dave is probably, his doctrine, his teachings have really saved my life. You just don't know. I wouldn't have made it. I would have been divorced. So many issues in my life. And I saw this man and I heard him for the first time. I said, my God. The love that he walked in. You know, when, I don't know if Pastor Bronk ever thought that, but when we first got on this walk, I said, I would love to spend the day with him in his prayer room one day. Did you ever think that, Pastor? I said, God, I wish I could just go to Tulsa and just see what he did all day. Just to spend the day with, just to look at him, what he did in his prayer closet. And I've concluded that I probably would have been bored. Right, Pastor? I said, oh, every moment that he's there, it just must be so glorious. If I could just sit there with him and, oh, I would have been so bored. This whole week, I usually ask the Father, where do you want me to camp out at? What do I need? I don't just read the Bible randomly. Not that it's a sin. I'm not telling you it's a sin. But he knows what I need. See, about 4 or 5 years ago, I made a decision. I said, Lord, I want to be a disciple. I want to follow you, and I want to be a disciple. So I asked God, I said, what would you have? I was in the book of Romans. Listen to this now. All week long. Hours and hours and hours in the book of Romans. Over and over and over, countless hours, countless times in the book of Romans. Just countless hours. Countless hours. So you would have been bored if you would have been there with me. You would have been very bored. Again, Homer? Romans 6, 7, again? Yep. Not to teach it. There's something new he wanted to show me about liberty and freedom. You would have been extremely bored from about 7 o'clock in the morning to whatever time my wife picks me up. You would have been very bored. One day, I don't tell nobody I said this, but one day I fell asleep almost the whole day. I fell asleep. I probably spent about 3 hours in prayer and I slept the rest, but I just slept. What? I said, man, praying all day long is getting easy. But I realized I slept for 4 or 5 hours. You go to sleep for 4 or 5 hours, you go, whoa, yeah, this is nothing to me now. But I was knocked out for about, this was just one day. This really was one day. But incredible, though, incredible, incredible. I had been in Romans all week for who? For me. You're going to know where I'm getting, what point I'm getting to in a little bit. And believe it or not, something kept going through my spirit over and over again. And sometimes I fall asleep on purpose. No, that's not an excuse. I do fall asleep on purpose because usually when I fall asleep, my senses shut down. And what's going through my spirit, it goes through my spirit, even through my sleep. And maybe for hours, I was laying on that front row there. And I kept saying while I was asleep, whether in my conscience or a dream, I kept saying over and over again, God, I thank you so much for the rebirth. Over for hours, just went on for hours, the same statement over again. I was asleep, knocked out, trust me. Probably snoring, I probably woke all the chairs up. But I was, thank you, Lord, for the rebirth. I thank you so much. I thank you so much. I thank over and over, just went on, and I woke up. Oh, yeah. You're a prayer warrior, you. And now I know why. Now I know why. He was teaching me something. And even today, I said, Lord, do you really want me to go where I think you want me to go? And I felt a continuance in what I've been meditating all week long, and I want to help you. I want to help you. There's no doubt in my mind that there will be an outpouring in Little Old Immokalee and in other parts of the world, maybe. There is no doubt in my mind. But I want to help you overcome something. I want to help you overcome yourself. I want to help you overcome yourself. And I will not be a hypocrite in what I'm going to present to you. Because I struggled before. Years ago, I struggled. Boy, did I struggle. But now I can laugh at that struggle. But he's coming for you. You know, Paul writes a masterpiece, and I'm a firm believer that if you can comprehend Romans, if you can comprehend it, the power of the rebirth, and allow his word to transform your thought process, I believe you'll never be the same again. And Paul writes this in Romans, towards the end of Romans 7. He said, Oh wretched man that I am. What a wretch I am. How would you define the word wretch, Pastor Bronk? I mean, wow, unhappy, perplexed, or maybe, or bankrupt, just... That's a good terminology for it. He said, what a wretched man that I am. Listen to what he's saying. This is where the church misses the comprehension of the book of Romans. That's why there's so much failure in the body of Christ. So much. Where there's no difference anymore between the world and the body of Christ. But we have the life of God in us. I believe that we lack a comprehension. You know, our flesh, all it does is it indicts me, it indicts you, and it's just full of indictments. And if you don't watch it, it can whisper to you all day long, indicting you, reminding you of your shortcomings. Indictment after indictment about my shortcomings, about yours. It can go on for hours. And I used to catch myself just shaking my head saying, be quiet, be quiet. Now I stand up. And as it indicts me with lies, I speak up and speak to it with truth. You can't just sit there. We can't just sit there hearing these lies and accusations about our weakness without standing up to that lie with the word of God, declaring to that lie, to that indictment, who me and you are in the kingdom of God. And that is, we're set free. But Paul made this statement, and the majority of the body of Christ will, you know, he saved a wretch like me. Well, before this night's over, hopefully you'll think completely different. He said, what a wretched man that I am. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 7. What a bankrupt man that I am. I have no hope. See, the Jew, they were spiritually dead. You know that. You've heard it a million times here. They were spiritually dead. They were in a spiritually dead state. And then they had a law of sin working in their members, in their body. They had two things that complemented each other. They had a dead nature and the law of sin and death living in their flesh, the body of sin. They complemented each other. And then if that were not enough, this is what they were under. Miss Rosie's my wife. Let's say a beautiful lady walks in the room. I'm a Jew under law. Me and my wife are born 300 years before Christ. We're Jews under law. And I love my wife. We're Jews. We're born under law, under Mosaic law. She's spiritually dead. I'm spiritually dead. The law of sin and death reigns in her body of sin. The law of sin and death reigns in my body of sin. I'm in subjection to that law of sin and death in my body because I have a dead nature. Romans 8 said, you have not received the spirit of bondage again or the spirit of slavery again. See, I was in bondage because I had a dead nature. I was in bondage to the sin nature that was in the body of sin. I was in bondage to it. They complemented each other. So I have a good marriage with my wife back 300 years before Christ, and we're under Mosaic law. And I love her as much as I can. But then Miss Rosie goes to the well one day to get water for the family. And a pretty damsel walks by. Rosie's at the well a mile away. You've got to picture this. You've got to understand this. I'm spiritually dead. I have a sin nature. There's a law dominating my body of sin, dominating it. Well, Homer, I'm going to go to the well and get some water for the family. So I calculate that takes about an hour and 30 minutes. Pretty damsel walks by. I love Miss Rosie, but I'm dead. I'm sold under sin. Beautiful young lady walks by. The law says, do not commit adultery, but I'm carnal. Romans 7, sold under sin. Rosie won't come back to another hour and a half. The damsel walks by. And all I can do is remember what the law says, do not commit adultery. And all I can remember is a pile of rocks that I'm going to get cast my way if I commit adultery. It's not, okay, so I didn't commit adultery. It's not that I didn't commit adultery because I didn't want to commit adultery. It's just I was just scared to get stoned. It's not that I didn't want the damsel. It's I did want the damsel under law 300 years ago. I had a sin nature. That's all I knew. All the law did was validate what I was. It proved that I was a sinner. So the damsel walks by. And I didn't commit adultery. I really wanted to, but I didn't want to die. I didn't want to get stoned, so I didn't. But I burned inside of me for that damsel. I burned. Burned inside of me. I had to have her. She is beautiful. But I didn't because I was scared to be stoned by the elders of the city for committing adultery. I was in a hot mess. I didn't do it. I was scared of being stoned. The law proved to me, Homer, do not commit adultery. God, I know that, but there's something in me is desiring this beautiful woman so much, so much. I'm desiring her. What is it in me? So he concludes, oh, wretched man, oh, bankrupt man that I am. Listen, he asks himself a question. Paul's writing here about a Jew that's under Mosaic law. So what a wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He asked him, he said, who? So this Jew knew someone could deliver him from the body of this death, right? Because he said, who? Think about it now. This Jew wasn't a Pharisee, I don't think, but was a Jew under law trying his very best to walk according to the law of God. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who? I'm in a mess. I'm bankrupt. I have no hope. I want to do good, but I can't do it. I'm a wretch. I'm a bankrupt man. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Me is a very important word. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Or who's going to deliver me from the body of this spiritual death? Are you with me? He's stating a state of misery. The law says, do not commit adultery. But God, I want to do it so bad. I didn't do it. I love my wife as much as I think. I love her as much as I can. But I really want to take this woman and embrace her, but I'm scared of being stoned. I'm in a mess. I'm a wretched man. He says, who? Who shall deliver? Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this spiritual death? Then he states, I thank my God that through our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a wretched man. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He asks a question. I'm in a mess. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God, our Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, so then, he reverts back to a Jew under law. He reverts back again. He asks a question. Who's going to deliver me? Then he gives the answer. He said, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, so then, with the mind, what's he say? I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, there's a very important word that we can add to that, that I've gone through it hundreds of times meditating it. He said, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. If you don't know how to meditate the scriptures the way we've been taught, you're going to have a hard time with that. He said, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of what? Sin. What word could be used in that last statement that was used in the statement before? He said, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. What word could have been added to the last sentence that I quoted? What? Serve. Does that sound like a free man to you? He said, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, we could say this, with the flesh, I myself serve the law of sin. Does that sound like a free man to you? With the flesh, I myself serve. You could add that word serve in there. I myself serve the law of sin. Does that sound like a free man to you? No. He said before, I'm carnal. I am sold under sin. He said with the mind, he said before, I'm carnal, sold under sin. I am carnal, sold under sin. A little bit more down, he said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What kind of mind did he serve the law of God with? What kind of mind was it? He said, I am carnal, sold under sin. I am carnal, sold under sin. He said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What kind of mind did he serve God with? A carnal mind. In essence, in Romans 8, we find out that he really didn't serve God. He tried his very best out of remembrance, but there was nothing in him. There was nothing in that Jew, that unregenerate Jew that had the capacity internally to serve the Almighty God. He said, with the mind, with a carnal mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. You said and I said that that doesn't sound like a free man, right? Because it's not a free man. Chapter 8 said, now, regarding what I just said, I'm a wretch. Pastor Bronx said, I'm a bankrupt man. I don't want to commit adultery. The law says not to do it, but I really do want to do it, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to get stoned. He was a bankrupt man. He was empty. He feared God. He feared of being stoned. He didn't commit adultery because he didn't want to commit it. He didn't do it because he was scared of being killed. He said, who's going to deliver me? Who's going to deliver me? Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the answer. He asked the question. That was the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I'm going to be delivered. Then he reverts back again to a Jew that's under the law. He said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve. He didn't use the word serve, but you can put the word serve in there. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Chapter 8, there is therefore now. That word now in the Greek means immediately. Immediately. There is therefore immediately. There is therefore now immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is not any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Immediately, listen to what he said, immediately when you said yes to Jesus instantaneously, the Greek says, immediately, there was no condemning sentence in you anymore. Immediately. Now, I'm not going to be legalistic with you, and I'm not going to be hypocritical with you, because it took me a while to understand this. I was born again and praying in the Spirit and still struggling with an issue in my life. But I didn't stop pounding this book inside of me. He said, there is therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember in verse 7, he said, who shall deliver what? Me. Who shall deliver me from this wretched state that I'm in? I'm a bankrupt man. I want to do good. But there's something in me that overcomes the good that I want to do with my mind, not with my spirit. My mind wants to keep the law of God. But there's something in me that dominates the very thought that I want to keep. I just can't keep it. I'm in a state of turmoil. I'm a wretched man. He said, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me, a man that's in this bankrupt or wretched state? Who's going to deliver me? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, a carnal mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I serve the law of sin with my flesh. He said, I serve the law of sin with my flesh. Romans 8:1. There is therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. What did the law, the Spirit of life, do in us? What did it do to us? It what? According to what I'm reading and teaching you. It didn't say said, it says made. It says made free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me. Me who? Me, the Jew that was a wretch. I was in a bankrupt state. I wanted to keep the commandments of God, but there was an inner turmoil within me. I didn't want to commit adultery. I did, but the law said don't do it, and I knew if I did it, I'd be stoned. I was a wretch. I was in turmoil. Who shall deliver me? Me, an unregenerate Jew, trying to keep the law. Who's going to deliver me from this turmoil inside of me? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's my deliverer. But this is what happened when our faith was in Christ Jesus. He said, there is therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. What did the law of the Spirit of life do? What did it do? It what? Made what? Made me free. At the rebirth, immediately I was set free. Immediately. He said what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. What could the law not do that the Spirit of life did? The law could not make you free, but the Spirit of life made you free. Are you with me? When I said yes to Jesus, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Immediately, the law, the Spirit of life made me free from the law of sin and death. That freedom did not come in increments. It came instantaneously. Now, I had to learn about this law of the Spirit of life in increments. But it was given right there and then. That freedom did not come in increments. It came immediately when I said, Jesus, you are the Christ. It's what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. The law couldn't set me free. It was just a reminder of what I was, a man that was bankrupt, a wretched man in turmoil. He said, who's going to deliver me? I know who's going to deliver me. Jesus Christ, our Lord. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now, immediately, he said. The Greek says, immediately, when I said yes to Jesus, immediately There was no condemnation to those. Now I've got to show you what that condemnation is. I've looked for it. I wanted to know what it was word for word. I knew through how I'm taught how to meditate God's word through Pastor Dave Robertson. I knew there had to be an exact definition or outline in that text of what that condemnation was. He said, there is therefore immediately no condemnation. Immediately there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. If Christ condemned sin in the flesh, Christ was a man like me and you, except he was deity. We'll never touch that, my friends. He was a man born of God, wrapped in sinful flesh, wrapped in it. The great thing about it is that we live our life in God out of our spirit. Our spirit man is born again. The old man, the old sin nature that we had, has been put to death. We've been born again. You got to grasp this now. You got to grasp it. It can change you if you can grasp it. If Christ condemned sin in the flesh, he overcame the flesh in his humanity. If Christ condemned sin in the flesh, guess who else has to condemn sin in the flesh, being born of God? If he condemned sin, see, there seems to be one to rise up a doctrine now that the flesh is mentioned too much by my friends, but the flesh has to be dealt with every day. If Christ condemned sin in the flesh, being a born-again man, wearing a body of sin, if he had to condemn it daily, guess who else has to condemn it daily? But wait a minute, Homer, you said I was free from sin. Why do I have to condemn something that I'm free from? Because our freedom is internal, but we still wear a body of sin. We've been made free from the bondage of the body of sin. Why? Because we have not received the spirit of bondage again. The spirit of bondage that we received was the spirit of slavery, that we were enslaved to the law of sin and death that's in the body of sin. We were enslaved to it. That's why he said, I'm a wretch. He said, I love my wife. I love her so much. The law says don't commit adultery. I'm in a mess. It's not that I'm just not going to do it because I don't want the elders of the city to find out. I don't want to be stoned. I don't want to be killed. I really do want to commit it, but I'm not going to because I know I don't want to be killed. He said, I'm a wretch. I'm a hot mess. God, who is going to deliver me from the body of this spiritual death? Who's going to deliver me, God? Then he gives the answer to his question. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, this is your proof that this Jew was not born again. With the flesh, I serve the law of sin, my friends. If we're born again, we do not serve the law of sin and death that's in the body of sin, because we have been made free from it immediately. That freedom did not come in increments. It came instantaneously. Instantaneously it came. Listen to me. See, there's therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made Homer free from the law of sin and death that lives in the body of sin. He said, for what the law could not do, okay, Lord, what could the law not do? It couldn't make me free like the Spirit of life did. The Spirit of life made me free. The law, sin, and death, I was in bondage to it. There was no way I could overcome it. That's who I was. But then I found Jesus. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I found the answer. And his name is Jesus. So what the flesh could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending his own son in the likeness of sin. What? Jesus had a flesh. God was sending his own son in the likeness of sin. God, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. Not one time did the body of sin have dominance over the Lamb of God. Why? Because he knew what it was to be born again. And he spent time and time again going through the word, transforming his thought process, knowing what was in him. If you can grasp that, your days of failure will be eliminated. Christ had to deal with his flesh. He condemned it. Why? Because there was a law of the Spirit of life inside of him, and what worked in him in his humanity works in me and you in our humanity. We're not bankrupt, wretched men anymore. We're not perplexed inside. That law of sin that was in the body of sin, it no longer has dominance over me and you, because what was in us that was a slave to that law has been ultimately destroyed. The body of sin, flesh, had dominance over me and you because we were spiritually dead internally. Jesus, you are the Christ. Instantaneously, the law of the Spirit of life came and indwelt my human spirit, and that which I was in bondage to, I was made free from immediately when I said, Jesus, you are the Christ. I didn't receive that in increments. I received that immediately. Immediately I received it. And I failed. I have failed before. Failed miserably years ago. Or I would cry. I didn't even know if I was saved anymore. I used to cry like a baby. Then I used to come preach. I felt so dirty. All I could do all day long was hear my flesh indict me. You loser. You hypocrite. I would cry for hours and cry. And cry and cry and cry. Cry. But I would go through it over and over and over again. I cannot tell you how many times I've gone through Romans. I cannot tell you. Not to teach it. But I knew there was something there that I needed to see. I knew there was something there that I needed to see. See, now just because I didn't see it didn't mean the freedom didn't exist. It just meant that I didn't understand it, and that for years I had been taught that I was a sinner saved by grace. That was programmed in me by religion. There's therefore immediately no condemnation. What's the condemnation, Homer? There is therefore immediately no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, what was the condemnation, Homer? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, then what was the condemnation? There is therefore now, immediately, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death that lived in my members. What was the condemnation? What was the condemning sentence? What did I inherit from Adam? The condemnation, he said, immediately when you said yes to Jesus, that condemnation, that judgment that was levied against you through the fall of mankind, that condemnation that was levied against you immediately at the rebirth, you were made free from that condemnation. Immediately, when it did not come in increments, though I had to understand it in increments, because had I fully believed that freedom, I wouldn't have struggled for 6 or 7 years with this perverted thing in my life. So I had to learn about it in increments, but I was determined. Either I continue in this junk or I'm gonna walk away and fall. I would cry. I had to give things up. Either this, I wouldn't have been with my wife anymore. I wouldn't have known my kids the way I do. I had to put on my big boy pants. And I went over it over and over and over and over and over again. Hours in tongues. Hours of going over it. Hours and hours. To that junk. Till I believed my freedom. There is therefore immediately no condemnation. What's the condemnation that I'm made free from? The law of sin and death. It doesn't rule me anymore. It doesn't rule me. Please find where 11 of the 12 walked in adultery and in fornication after the rebirth. Please show me. You can't. They were in trouble always for the gospel's sake. They weren't in trouble for walking in darkness. They were in trouble because they lived and taught the kingdom of heaven. We can learn so much from them. There is therefore immediately no condemning sentence. Well, what's the condemning sentence, Homer? The law of sin and death. Immediately, instantaneously, the day we got born again, we were set free internally. You have not received the spirit of bondage again. That means I must have received the spirit of bondage somewhere down the road. I received it in my mother's womb. In me. A sin nature as a child, as an infant, was in me. But at the rebirth, you didn't receive that spirit again. What spirit? The spirit of bondage that had you enslaved to the law of sin and death. That spirit is no longer in you. You've been made free from the power of darkness. You just got to stand up sometimes in adversity and say, no, I will not. And go through that book over and over and over again. I don't know what your downfall may be. That stronghold that you, I don't know. It's not my place to know your stronghold. I just know what took me out of a lot of junk, man. And that is God's word. There is therefore immediately no condemning sentence. What was the condemning sentence, Homer? You were spiritually dead. The law of sin and death, it dominated you. You were a slave to the law of sin and death because you were spiritually dead. But then you said, this is how powerful my God is. This is what it took to receive internal freedom and liberty. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Bam! Immediately, not in increments, I was set free from that condemnation that held me for 25 years of my life. The condemnation was the law of sin and death that was my daddy. I've been made free from it through the spirit of life, through the rebirth. So what the law could not do, what couldn't the law do? It couldn't make me free. But the spirit of life did. When I gave my life to Jesus and I'm winding down, I cried. I cried for 3 days. I was a pervert my whole life. I never experienced this kind of love before. I never thought I could love one woman. One gypsy woman. I never thought I could stay home and be a family man and call my boys 3 or 4 times a day, my daughter, say, what are you doing? I love you. I never thought that was possible. I thought life was indulgence, taking advantage of young women. That's what I thought life was. And then I met this man named Jesus. And I was made free. The condemning sentence that was levied against me, the judgment that I received from the fall of the first man, Adam, that, my friends, the power of darkness was broken over me, not in increments, but immediately when I was born again. If we cannot comprehend this, there will always be gray areas in our life. There will always be those, well, I did it because I'm human. There's only one problem with that statement that sounds logical. Well, we're only human. That's not exactly biblical. You're human, but you live in God out of a place where His Spirit dwells. Well, I did it because I'm human. No, no, you did it because you sort of wanted to. I did it because I sort of wanted to. I'm managing to say that with a passion. You did it. That's the first step out of it. Pastor Dave used to say, if you did it, he said, you square your shoulders. You look at the devil right in the eye. And you say, you didn't make me do it, Satan. I did it because I chose to. That in itself is your first way out of that junk, man. Either you've been made free or you have not. The word of God is truth. Accusations, indictments are going to come. Don't just sit there defenseless, whatever your stronghold or weakness may be, do not just sit there allowing your flesh to minister to you all day long. Stand up. Stand up in those accusations, in those indictments. Stand up with the truth. Speak to that lie. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I am righteous internally. Sin, you cannot dominate me. I have been born again. Say it a million times if you got to say it. But for God's sake, man, do something. Speak the truth against that indictment. Speak the truth against it. If not that indictment, you'll believe the indictment that you were indicted with. You'll believe it and you'll give in to that lie for the rest of your life. You got to do something about it. Romans 6, 7, and 8, over and over again. When do you stop? Never. He's giving you the answer today. In love and compassion. Whatever your weakness may be in life, he said, I've made you free of that weakness. The condemning sentence, the condemnation, the judgment that was levied against you, what you had against you because of the fall of mankind, that's been broken, man. You have been made free internally. You have been made so free internally. The judgment against you is there no more. You have been made free internally. What are you trying to say, Homer? That means I got the power within me. You got the power within you to be faithful to one person the rest of your life. That means I got the power in me. You got the power in you to never fornicate again. That means I got the power in me. You got the power in you to never walk in self-gratification again. That means I got the power in me. You got the power in you never to steal again. That is in us because we've been made free from the law of sin and death that lives in the body of sin. We've been made free from it. We've been made free from it because the man that lived inside of us, that spirit of bondage, that spirit of slavery, it's no longer there. I was in bondage to the law of sin and death through a dead nature. That dead nature has been put to death. Now the life of God lives in me. And what used to govern me, it doesn't govern me anymore because I've been made free from it through the rebirth. That is your freedom. That is your freedom. You have been made as free as you'll ever be. You can never be more freer than what you are internally in your spirit. That freedom did not come in increments. It came instantaneously. Now, our understanding might come in increments. Obviously, that's a true statement. And I'm going to give you some grace because I walked with junk in my life. But had I known then what I know now, I wouldn't have had to struggle for 6 or 7 years with that junk in my life. I wouldn't have had to struggle with it. But now, baby, you've been served. You've been served. Guess who's accountable? You've been served. You've been served. You come to the wrong church, buddy. To the wrong church. You won't get this anywhere else because they're still going to tell you you're a sinner saved by grace. Not true. If I'm a sinner saved by grace, then I still have a legitimate excuse for my failure. No, but I've been made free from the law of sin and death. That was the condemnation. Immediately, I was set free from that condemning sentence. I am a joint heir with Christ and an heir of God. We march. And that man that's here that just said yes, when I had, he knew the issue that I had because I told him. Later on in my walk, I told him. I hid it for a while, but not one time did he make me feel like I was a piece of trash. Not one time. And I, friends, will not make you feel like a piece of trash. Because I came out of it. You can too. I came out of it. So addicted to pornography, so addicted. The days were so long. They were so long. But now I can't get enough of Jesus. I can't get enough. Because I have been made free. I'm going to stop there about the carnal mind. He talks more about it in Romans 8, but we don't have the time. But you, my friends, you don't have a carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Because it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed, what? Can it be? We have spiritual minds. The moral law of the Lord has been written in our hearts and in our mind. We have been made free from the law of sin and death. You have been made so free, and that freedom did not come in increments. It came immediately. Jesus, you are the Christ of God. Bam! Spiritual death. And I'm done in 2 minutes. Give you an example. This is Homer in spiritual death. Just dead. All of a sudden I knew, here I am, just spiritual death. Just all of a sudden I concluded within me that Jesus is the Christ. Spiritual death. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Bam! An awareness inside of me that I went from death to life. You can grasp that, we will never ever make excuse for our failures. Never. I don't care what they've done to you or what they've said. Our life is lived in Him internally. We crucify the deeds of the body of sin. That's what we put on the cross daily. We have been made free. Jesus has made us free. He has made us so, so free. I told you He'd come after you with love and compassion. He never accused me. He never made me feel, get up, boy. Get up. A week would go by. Mess up. Keep praying. 3 weeks would go by. Mess up again. This time I went 3 weeks, though. 5 weeks would go by. I got this thing. Messed up again. Then I would realize I would go 3 months, 4 months, okay, 5 months. Hey, a year. Hey, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Hey! I've been made free. Amen? We have been made free. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. And now that gypsy-looking woman there, I love her so much. Bald head and all, I love her. Glory, were you edified a little bit? You've been made free, Carl. Well, I can tell he's gone. No mercy. Made free. He loves you so much. See, religion will beat you up. Jesus will love you. Pastor Dave said this, God will walk through hell and back with you. I mean, Satan, God will walk through hell and back with you if you just don't give this thing any excuse. Look at it in the face. Say, I'm coming out of this junk. I've been made free. Amen. Glory. Glory. Pastor, is that all right, Pastor? I base the message on what he says or doesn't say. If he's not saying much, I say, oh, Lord, I must be wrong. It's not easy. It's not. Let me tell you, it's not easy preaching with Pastor Bronk. It's not easy. It's not that he tries to put pressure on, but you're just thinking, okay, should I say it? Okay, y'all know me, I say some crazy stuff sometimes. But it's not easy preaching in front of that man. But he never makes me feel uncomfortable. Now, Miss Candy, it's something, another story. Stand with me, please. Say, Father, I thank you for my freedom, for my freedom in Christ Jesus. I have been made free. I have been made free. I have been made free immediately at the rebirth. No excuses, Father. I have been made free. When accusations come, I'll remind those accusations that I have been made free. I have been made free. In Jesus' name. Glory. Love you. See you guys Wednesday. Hallelujah.